Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
I think he's also brought to us by Bradford Marine and ATV, but with the new system, some things have been lost. We have to find the actual open
we're looking
that
for.
Is supposed to be. But Rick, welcome into the show.
Different show. What a different show with David and Roger, both gone. So I texted him last night to tell him I'm actually in Baltimore. You know, I love the Orioles. I'm watching them play baseball and doing a few other things. And so David sends me this text that he's in London and he's been in Amsterdam. So he sends me these pictures. Did he send you guys the pictures? Did he send you the picture of Van Gogh?
He did not send me the Van Gogh one.
Okay, so he sent me a picture of Van Gogh. I told him. He looks like Van Gogh. He's angry. He looks like a drive-time sports caller after a Razorback loss. That's what Van Gogh looks like.
Especially after he cut off his ear. So, yeah.
Maybe that was it. I don't know. But anyway, funny to see those guys. It's great that they're big trips like that. You know, David said just totally blessed to be able to go places like that. He's seen Rembrandt's. He's seen Van Gogh's. He's seen Da Vinci's. You know, how many people get to see it? I've never been to Europe. I really don't have a desire to go, but it must be cool to be there.
The Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam is one of the greatest places on earth. And Rembrandt, I think, is my favorite artist of all time. There's just something about the guy. I love his stuff. Yeah.
And why is that?
He does something with light, Rick. The first time I was looking at his self-portrait, I was standing there like Ferris Bueller's buddy, you know, just staring and getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. Rembrandt's eyes were staring a hole through my brain, and there was light illuminating him back there. There was something going on there. The Lord touches certain people with certain gifts, and he gave me very, very few, and he gave Rembrandt all of them.
That's great.
Yeah, there's a technical skill that I do not have that comes with art where people can make lighting and shadows and all kinds of stuff. I just can't do it.
Amazing.
I'm a stick figure guy.
Amazing.
And I'm not even good at that.
I can't. So. I can't draw a straight line. Yeah, people that can paint and do art, it's amazing. It is.
Oh, man.
So you're going to see the Orioles. Who do the Orioles have today?
Okay, so the Orioles played Detroit for three games. I saw those three games. Yesterday they played Tampa Bay. They play Tampa Bay tonight and tomorrow night. Then they start a series with Toronto. I'm only going to see the first game coming back Friday. But I tell you, for people that love baseball, and I know in our listening audience there are some, most of them are all into Razorbacks, I saw something Sunday and Monday. This was pretty amazing. So Sunday, the Orioles, they played a doubleheader because they'd been rained out Saturday. So they played the first game. They're down to their last strike, two on, two out. They're trailing 3-2, and they've got a hitter that's hitting 191 home run, Colton Cowser. With two strikes, he hits a home run. So they win the game, 5-3.
Kenley Jansen. Thanks, Kenley. Great job.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, Rick. Thanks for bringing it up. I'd almost forgotten it.
Well, the Tigers did win the next game. So yesterday, they're playing Tampa Bay, best record in baseball, and it's 2-2 after 9. It's 2-2 after 10. Both teams score two runs in the 11th. Both teams score one run in the 12th. Tampa Bay gets two runs in the 13th. The Orioles have tied it in the 13th. Runner at second. And who's up again? Colton Cowser.
No way.
He hits another home run. It's third of the year to win the game 9-7. It's been amazing. So the Orioles are, you know, they're 24-30, not having a great year, but I've seen two just amazing games back to back and still have three to see.
So you're seeing five total games this week or over the weekend?
I've seen four so far. I'm going
to
see three more.
Uh-huh.
It'll be a total of seven. So, yeah, but it's fun. I love coming here. Camden Yards is a great ballpark. And again, the Orioles haven't won a World Series since 1983, but I still love watching them play. And it's just an enjoyable experience. And they have a lot of other things to do. Fort McHenry, I don't know if any of y'all check.
Francis Scott Key, National Anthem. How about crab cakes? You get any crab cakes?
Maryland crab cakes.
Maryland crab cakes are the best. Yes.
I'm going to have crab cakes today at Phillips Seafood because it's a night game. So,
awesome.
Yes. Their crab cakes are really good. They have a national museum here. National Aquarium here, which is really nice. So there's a lot of nice things to do here. But really, I like seeing the Orioles the best.
Outstanding.
Now,
so we are going to speak.
The other guys talk about 60s music, but how about the Razorbacks right now? We're about June. We're in the last week of May. The baseball team is in the regionals and played amazingly in Hoover. I was shocked. They beat Auburn 2-1. I never thought they'd win that game. I thought they'd be out of pitching, which they were against Georgia. But here they are in the regional. The softball team is in Oklahoma City for the College World Series for the first time ever. The men's track team is rated number one in the country, and they're hosting a regional this weekend. The women's team is there, too. The women's golf team has just made the last eight of the NCAA tournament. And it's late May. Usually your sports year is about over by now, and there's still so much going on.
Yeah, I was about to mention that we have Camden Kozul coming on with us later. Did you know that Camden is actually named after the Camden Yards?
Nice. Yeah, maybe we can get his brother Wrigley on the show next week.
You made that up. You made that up.
I did make that up, Rick.
He's not named it.
No, he is named after the Camden Yards. He really is. We have him on the show each week, and we asked him. We asked him, is he named at, or Justin Moore asked him if he's named after the Camden Yards, and he said, yeah.
Just outside the outfield walls is where Babe Ruth's dad's bar was.
Yes.
His dad was a barkeep.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah.
Babe Ruth,
a lot of history there in Baltimore.
Yeah, he did not.
Seven statues at Camden Yards. They have six that are in the Hall of Fame. They all have statues, Palmer, Rifkin, Rich Robinson, Weaver, Frank Robinson. All their statues are out there, and there's a statue of Babe Ruth because Baltimore is the birthplace of Babe Ruth.
Incredible.
And there's the Babe Ruth Museum is in Baltimore. I've been to that. Evidently his dad was a ruffian, a bar owner, and so they sent him to a boys' school, which is where he started playing baseball.
This giant monk named Brother Matthias taught him how to play baseball, and that was his father figure. Ruth was such an incorrigible kid. His dad, who ran a bar and was pretty rough himself, couldn't keep up with him, if that tells you something about the Babe. Yeah,
I don't think he
ever
really went back to Baltimore after leaving either.
Too many bad memories. Yeah.
No, I don't know about that, but he he was in the International League, then he went to the Boston Red Sox. Was a great pitcher there, and see, people start to say, "Oh, Ohtani's the greatest player ever." No, not even close. He's not there yet. He's 31 years old, and his numbers don't compare to Babe Ruth. Now, if he plays, if he's still hitting home runs and throwing shutouts when he's 37 years old, we'll start considering that. But Babe Ruth had a career earned run average of 2.14. He won 97 games as a pitcher, and then in 1927, when he hit 60 home runs, no other team in the American League hit 60 home runs. No other team. And he hit 60. And when he retired, he was the all-time home run leader by over 300 home runs.
That's amazing.
So Ohtani's great. I don't dismiss him at all. He is really great. But let's don't start saying he's better than Babe Ruth.
Well said. Hey, Rick, quick question about you mentioned Arkansas and how there's all this jubilation around the sports right now, late spring sports being successful. There in the outrage society we currently live in, there is some disgruntled fans after the non-regional hosting opportunity was afforded to Arkansas yesterday. What'd you think about that, where Arkansas essentially seemingly was the first team out, if we were to do a basketball comparison here in terms of regional host sites?
Well, in the past, the past 3 or 4 years has changed. But before that, Arkansas would have definitely hosted a regional because the attendance factor. The Razorbacks can get between 10,000 and 11,000 people at their ballpark, Kansas gets 2,500. So the attendance factor alone would have given Arkansas a regional the way they did it in the past. I don't grasp it. You know, Dave goes back to splitting with Stetson and saying that that cost him a region. That's just hard to believe. The NCAA selection committee would hold that against Arkansas. Now, you have to look around and say there are a whole lot of SEC teams hosting, and they might have said, hey, that's enough. That could have been it. The thing you hate, though, I was thinking before, if Arkansas did host, they'd be a 15 or a 16. Well, as it is, they're playing at the 15. That means even if they win the regional at Kansas, and they certainly could, they got to go play at Georgia Tech. And so that's not only a lousy deal not getting to host, but then getting the sense of the number two regional seed if they do win. But they can win, and here's the thing that's amazing at this stage. Arkansas's pitching, other than Beats, and occasionally another pitcher or two, has been not very good. It was great at Hoover except for the last day when they just didn't have any left. So if Gabe Gackel can pitch like he's pitched the last couple games, if the others can pitch like they did at Hoover, Arkansas can win this regional. I always felt like if Deets isn't pitching, what's going to happen? Now you feel a little bit better, and their offense is really, really good. So, unfortunately, playing somebody like Missouri State, you cannot save Deets. And I hope he's okay after he got hit by that line drive. But if he can pitch, you got to pitch him in the number one game because Missouri State's really a good team. So, but then you know, whether you start Gackle or whether you start somebody else and pitch him in relief, I think that if you win the first two games, you got a great chance to win the regional. So I think Arkansas is in good shape. Doesn't mean they will win, but I think they're in good shape to win. I think with the NCAA, the disfavor they did them was putting them in a regional where if they win, they've got to go to Georgia Tech.
Don't you think that Kansas is thinking, this is great, we finally get to host a regional? What? Arkansas's coming here? Oh, that's terrible. They can't be happy about that.
You know, Chuck, you're probably right, but you can't be thinking that way. If you're the host team, you got to think we can beat anybody, and it doesn't matter who they send here. Because I can tell you what, Missouri State could win that regional.
They're good. They're really
good. We saw they beat Arkansas 15-14. Arkansas did have one of its better non-conference games, beating them 12-4 at Fayetteville, but they're good. And so whoever wins that first game, Arkansas and Missouri State, I know Kansas is playing the earlier game, but whoever wins that game, I think has got a definite chance to win the regional.
Absolutely.
Rick, also softball winning over the weekend, going to the Women's College World Series for the first time, and got to see, you know, it was almost like a finally moment is what it felt like. You know, being on the cusp of it for several seasons in a row, and now Coach Dyfel and her team finally we've done it. And to top it all off, Oklahoma not going to be there. I mean, it just feels like
amazing.
The door is open now for Arkansas and others to finally break through.
The door is open. Nebraska's really good. I know that. But there again, if you win the first game, you got a chance. Now, you guys are going to have to coach me here because I haven't paid that much attention to the softball World Series. Do they play it like the baseball World Series where it's two groups
of four? Double elimination. You got to win that first game because it's almost impossible to get through out of the loser's bracket.
Yep, they play all eight teams play on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Then the losers of the four games play Friday. The winners of the four games play Saturday.
And, Rick, the Razorbacks in playing Nebraska, they're almost assuredly going to face Jordy Fromm, the former Jordy Ball before her nuptials. She won two national championships for Oklahoma and then transferred back to her native Nebraska. And she was the nation's player of the year, I think, when she was a freshman. She is a load. So if somehow we could beat Nebraska in that first game, that would set us up really, really well.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned, did somebody say that it almost seemed like a finalizing event when they won the Super Regional? If that's the way you look at it, then the season's over. They're going to lose two games and come home. they got to go with the attitude of, just as you said, Oklahoma's not here. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are some great teams. Texas, I assume, made it. If Alabama's there, they're really, really good. And I know they are there. So they're really good teams, but don't go just to be happy and say, hey, we're in Oklahoma City. You're right. If they can beat Nebraska in the first game, if they can beat her, they can beat anybody. And that's the way to look at it. But wouldn't it be great? You think about how many times Arkansas's baseball team has been to Omaha, and they got close twice, 1979, 2018, both times had a chance to win the national championship but didn't do it. Wouldn't it be something if the softball team went and for the first time they're there, they won?
Yes.
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Courtney Dyfel has got to – she's got to channel Herb Brooks. They're finished. It's our time now. It's our time. I mean, you got to fire the troops up. They can win this thing.
Chuck, for a pastor, I'm surprised to hear you say channel. I mean, that's an interesting word for you to use.
Well, the Lord can channel things just like the devil can, Rick. It just depends on who's doing the channeling.
That's right. That's funny. Well, it's going to be a phenomenal weekend. And isn't it great that we can still have weekends like this after Memorial Day?
Amen.
Because you think of Memorial Day as the start of summer and college athletics is through for a while. Although, of course, the other story going on right now is the SEC meetings in Destin. And I assume Trey Schaap's there and he'll be calling reports back. I won't be back on drive time until Friday. Interesting. The biggest talk is about the college football playoff, and are they going to expand it? The bigger talk has got to be, is anybody going to ever help on NIL? Are they ever going to establish any standards? But one league can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Or the portal, same thing,
They got to
get
thing.
Those
You're
two
right.
under control. And those dopes in the Big Ten, they win three straight in football, so now they're trying to change the format. I'm like...
Just two.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. No, that's three, Rick. Michigan's counts, okay? So I'm talking about Michigan, Ohio State, and Indiana. Why would you change it if you're the conference that's won three in a row? Because that guy couldn't dress himself in the morning. That's why. Sankey needs to tell him how it is.
I think it's okay to change it to 16.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like when you get, the NCAA basketball tournament, everybody loves it. Because the first game, a 12 is going to beat a 5, and a 13 is going to beat a 4. But you know what? The 12 and the 13 don't win the national championship.
They do.
And
not.
I think in the last 5 years, only one team seeded that high has even made the Final Four, South Florida or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the upsets happen in the first round. Well, in football, it's less likely to happen. But the more teams you get in there, remember when they had four teams? And those semifinals were wipeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four teams. Boy, who are the four teams? And you'd have slaughters in the semifinal games. And then the championship game might be a really good game. The more teams you put in, you're wearing on their bodies. Football is such a physical game. Now you're talking about college football players basically playing an NFL schedule.
Mm.
Because you take the regular season, and now you got to win four games, say, to win the national championship. You're playing an NFL schedule. And for college athletes, I just don't think that's a good idea. But if they go to the only reason 16 is okay rather than 24 is nobody gets a bye. So in other words, now you got to win what? Well, you go from 16 to 8, 8 to 4, 4 to 6. You would have to win four games. But the way it is now, if you're one of the top four, you have to win three. The other ones have to win four. Just make it even for everybody. That's still a lot of extra football games to be playing. Now, the SEC, of course, has to weigh the value of the SEC championship game. And what about late season games? Are they as meaningful if you expand the playoffs? And the SEC championship game is much more valuable to the SEC than the Big Ten's is to them or the others. They all make money. But the SEC by far makes the most money off its championship game. Are they willing to give that up? Is there revenue to make up for that? Because it seems like it's all about revenue these days.
No, absolutely. In fact, that's the only reason for expansion. Mm-hmm. It's not, like you guys said, it's not competitive, entertainment for the fans, because that's not going. The likelihood of that happening in football is lower than the other sports. like baseball, anything can happen. Basketball, Cinderella's happened. Football, it's rare.
24 doesn't beat one in football.
We're still talking about App State versus Michigan in terms of football.
No,
upsets.
We're not. Yes, you are. Yeah. I wish we weren't talking about it.
So
I got PTSD from that, Chris. Quit bringing it up.
The reason is $4 million per appearance, I believe, is what the teams are given for each conference conference team that's in the playoff. That's what they're given. That's the reason for expansion. It's not for competition.
Here's the key is who's going to buy it. Right now, ESPN has total control. If it goes over 16 teams, they don't have total control. And that's why the Big Ten wants to change it. They have Fox involved in the playoffs. Right now, it's all ESPN. Mm-hmm. And ESPN with the SEC, and that's why it may not change.
That's exactly right.
All right, thanks, Rick, for joining us while you're on a vacation out there in Baltimore.
Enjoy those crab cakes, Rick. Eat a couple for us.
I'm going to do that. Thank you, guys. Hope you have a fabulous rest of your Tuesday.